that amazing? What an incredible snapshot of this house, of this family that God is building. And you know, I have the privilege of presenting vision this morning for the future. And I want to tell you that we have an absolutely massive vision. It's plastered all over the walls as you come in. And that's deliberate because in Habakkuk 2 talks about writing the vision down so that those who read it may run with it. And our heart today as leaders of Skylark Church is that this wouldn't remain our vision, that actually this would become our collective vision, that we would allow God to etch this vision, knit it into the fabric of our hearts so that wherever we are depositing him. And so this morning our prayer is that there would be a divine transaction that takes place between what is uttered and what is received, because you guys are going to be the hands and the feet of this vision. It's down to each of us to see it come into fruition. So I love the fact that whenever God downloads things to Peter and I, he seems to acknowledge the fact that we both, but me in particular, we love words. And so he always seems to be gracious enough to give us something with matching letters or that kind of thing. And this morning is no exception. We're going to have two R's, we're going to have two B's, and we're going to have two C's. So the first aspect of our vision this morning is this. And actually, we honestly feel that this isn't just going to be for the coming year. This may be our life's work when it comes to Pete and I and our tenure leading this church. However long God gives us the grace and the favor and anoints and appoints us to do that. So we're sharing it with you this morning, but we have a feeling that this is going to be more than we're able to accomplish in a year. Who knows how long it's going to take us, but we will lay down a platform for the generation that comes next. So the first area is rebuilding ruins. And you'll know that a few weeks ago, I touched on this in a message that I spoke. We feel really passionately about this. You see, we believe that God is calling us to be a church that looks beyond the rubble and the ruins that we see in our society, in individuals across our nation and across our world. And we're believing that God is going to give us a spiritual lens to be able, where everyone else may see ruins and rubble, to see an incredible thing of value, beauty, worth that God wants to rebuild. I love this concept because it works on the micro level and it works on the macro level. What does that mean? Well, it works just as well when we're standing at the school gate and we get chatting to a dad, and maybe he says that he's lost his job, and we are suddenly made aware of a ruin or an element of disrepair in his life. In that moment, as people of God and as people of Skylark Church, we are strategically poised to look at that ruin and to speak life and to speak hope and to bring encouragement and to build others up. And so it works on the individual level, but it also works on the national and the international level. And we honestly believe that there are ministries being birthed in and through the life of the church, or that there are assignments that God has for us in our marketplace, in our workplace, that are actually going to impact people on a national and a global scale. It's already beginning, but there is more to come. So if you're sitting here today and you think, goodness me, Nikki, that sounds too far-fetched for me, start on the individual level. Start with your neighbor. Start with your family. Start with your colleagues. Start with those that you're brushing up against. Where can you be part of rebuilding ruins? We want to be a church that sees need and responds. But I do want to say this. We don't believe that church is a welfare organization or a welfare state. You see, the call upon our lives is to see need, yes, and to meet need where we see it. But we do people a disservice if we simply meet a physical need and we don't go deeper and respond to the underlying spiritual root issue or need in somebody's life. And so actually, we want to look beyond the immediate physical need, yes, to meet that, but we want to be asking those strategic questions. What actually is the thing behind the thing? Is there a spiritual need? You know, so often we build on wrong foundations in our lives, and each of us in this room know what it feels like to have built on a dodgy or a wrong foundation. We have some beautiful decking in our garden, and when we first moved into our house, it looked absolutely pristine. And then within a couple of years, it began to sag. And just before the summer, isn't that the worst time for this to happen? Just before the summer, some planks began to pop up and it was really hazardous. So we had to get it looked at. And when the guys came to take a look, they removed a couple of planks and they thought it was going to be a relatively easy job until they noticed that the entire foundation of our decking area was rotten. And so there was nothing for it. We had to actually just pull up the whole thing and rebuild. And I really feel that our decking is a prophetic sign for our call as people of God. You know why? Because God is in the business of exposing wrong foundations. And he wants us to build not on sand. He wants us to build a house that is built on solid foundations. And the only foundation that is truly solid, that is unshakable, unmovable, is Jesus Christ. And so we're called to look at ruins and say, hey, you know what? There's a foundation here. Could I help you just lift up that dry rot? And to equip others to identify how they can build something of value and true kingdom significance. Don't be surprised if God begins with you. You know, we were chatting with our leadership team and we were talking about this, and it was interesting how each of us actually is going through a process at the moment where God is actually rebuilding some ruins in our lives and our hearts. And I want to say this, we are not the kind of church that sits in a superior position saying, hey, we've built on the rock and you've got it wrong. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. We actually have to allow God to continue a rebuilding process in our own lives and our own hearts. And if we stop allowing him to do that, or if we ever feel like we've arrived as Christians, I want to say there's something wrong with our spiritual walk, because actually we are a continual work in progress. And so don't be surprised if you're sitting here going, you know what, Nikki, I just feel like all I'm presenting to God in my own life at the moment are ruins. I want to encourage you. God is doing a restoration process in your heart. Why is he doing that? So that you will be able to get alongside others with authenticity and say, hey, you know what? I've been there. I'm going through this too. Can I help you? Can I get alongside you as you are also called to be restored? So it works on the micro level. But rebuilding ruins also works on the macro level. And as I said earlier, we believe there are some bigger projects or ministry areas that God is going to release that will impact many. You know, Courage, the boys' self-esteem program, it may be starting small, but mark my words, we believe that this is going to impact a generation of young lads. You know, we are a fatherless generation by and large, and there are so many men sitting in this room who I know would say they would have benefited from something like this in their formative years. Well, you know what? We're looking at young lads and we're saying it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that you don't have role models who teach you how to interact with the world outside. It doesn't have to be that the media and the pornography industry are the ones who forge your understanding of what a healthy relationship looks like. It doesn't have to be that you struggle with issues of self-worth, but because you're supposed to be a boy, you can't talk about it. Not on our watch, church. We're going to begin to rebuild the ruins that we see. Duke's Orchard. We are brimming with excitement about that project. And again, it may look like a small beginning, but I want to tell you this, there are so many lonely people in our society. And many of us have been there or actually may even currently be experiencing that ourselves. Church, we are called to love, first and foremost, to love our God and to love others. And so part of our mandate in rebuilding ruins is to get alongside people who say, I'm lonely, I feel isolated, I don't have anybody. We can be the answer to that. And I love that our team are going in week after week and providing lunch and companionship and offering and extending a hand of friendship. We're saying something so countercultural in doing that. You see, elderly people are so often marginalized in our society. They're pushed to the sidelines. It's disgraceful the way that we treat old people in our culture. We're saying, you know what? Your latter years matter. You're not just sitting in ashes waiting to go home. We love you and we believe that you have something to offer and something to contribute. Isn't that amazing? Similarly, there are strategic links across the city with police, with the council, with other agencies, and we are believing that there is something that God wants us to build, a lasting legacy in our city. Wherever we see ruins, we are going to build something of permanent value. Within that, we are sensing very strongly that a shift in premises is coming. We haven't got any hands or feet to give you on that, but in our hearts, as we began to dream, the thing that Peter and I see is this incredible space where you cannot tell where church begins and community ends, where there are these blurred lines, a building that houses many, many incredible things during the week, and it just spills into Sunday. Yes, it will mean that people come in and they don't always treat it as we might like. Yes, it will be more hard work and maintenance. Yes, it does mean that we're going to have to stretch and push ourselves financially. But in our hearts, as we've begun to dream, honestly, the thing that we see is that one day we're going to purpose build. And we don't have the information on the timing yet. And I know that many of you will look around and say, but we've got an amazing facility. We have the most incredible facility here. And we will invest into it. And we will continue to love this facility. But we just have a sense that it's not going to be big enough to home all that God wants to do. And there are constraints that come with this premises. So we don't have any more to tell you on that, except we're praying into it. It's a big decision. We have to be sure it's God, and we have to be sure of the timing. But watch this space, because we believe that something is shifting in the area of premises. It leads me nicely into the second part of our vision, building bridges. You see, when we decided that God was leading us in a different direction and that we were no longer going to be collaborating with Rock for our community work, the thing that started to rise up in our hearts was, what if we had this incredible space where the church and the community are mingled together? That, to me, represents a bridge. We're called to build up our people. That's you and that's me, to be built up in the values and the love of Jesus Christ and then equipped to live it for ourselves. And so it's like, here's the house of God and we're hopefully all beginning to flourish. And as we do, we're a sent people. And so we trip-trap like the billy goats over the bridge and we come out into our city. Now, it may not be Chelmsford. Some of you work in London. Some of you work in Witham, some of you work in other places. That's okay, right? We'll call it the city, but let's call it our sphere of influence, right? So we trip-trap over, we're sent out into that place, and we begin to operate in the power and the presence of Holy Spirit. And people brush up against us and they say, wow, there's something different about you. I want what you've got. And you say, hey, come with me. Let me lead you back over this bridge into the house of God, because here you will find family. Here you will find love. Here you will find acceptance. Here you will find purpose. Here you will find freedom. And they get built up into everything that God has for them. And guess what happens? They're then sent out. And the process is just this one incredible cycle of through flow with people flooding in both directions across this bridge. You know what? A flourishing house equals a flourishing city. And for too long, we've placed ourselves in one camp or another. Oh, I'm called to the world and the outside. Oh, I'm called to the church. Do you know what? You are the church. You are the church. You can't not be called to the church, because you are the church. So if you're not flourishing in the house of God, if you're not flourishing in this family, you've got nothing to offer the outside world. It's only in the power of Christ that we are going to see this city and this nation and the ends of the earth impacted for the glory of God. So we need the house of God to be flourishing in order for our city to flourish. I'm so excited about that. So excited. There will be bridges that we build into our city. There will be bridges that we're already building and will continue to build into nations. Femi and Maria are missionaries. They go to so many different nations through their organization, Blessed to Be a Blessing. They're an extension of the Skylark Church family. We're excited to see what God will do next. Mission. We're partnering with Samaritan's Purse this year, and we've taken the faith step of ordering 400 shoeboxes. Why have we done that? Because we want to make a difference to the ends of the earth. And you know what? Every single person that we give a shoebox to from our community will walk into this facility to bring that back. And our team of people are going to be on hand, and you're welcome to join us in that to say, hey, let me show you around. Would you like to see what happens here? We're a church in an industrial estate. Take a look. It's mission abroad and it's mission closer to home. I want to ask you this. Would you be willing not only to fill a shoebox yourself, but to take three or four and to invite people who don't know Jesus, who are your friends and your family, to do the same? We would love to get, actually, we'd love to have to order more shoeboxes so that we can bless more people. That's our heart. Samaritan's Purse have also approached us about becoming a lighthouse church, which is another way for us to build bridges into our community. What does that mean? Well, it means that whenever there's a disaster or something major, a major incident in our city, we will be sitting at the table with key decision makers and we will be part of the disaster relief strategy. Isn't that amazing? So if there were to be a flood in Chelmsford, we would sit down with members of the police and the council, and this church would roll up our sleeves and go, right, how can we rebuild ruins in our city? What an incredible opportunity. Obviously, we're going to say yes. And finally, we're called to create culture. You see, there's a call and a mandate over this church to raise up leaders. And it's always been with us. Rick and Bev were passionate about it. Paul and Liz were passionate about it. But I believe that we're moving into a season where we're not only raising up leaders, but we're raising up leaders of leaders. What does that mean? It means that there's an apostolic call over this church. It means that actually we believe that a time is coming, and it's already beginning with things like Flourish, where people are going to come and glean from the model that God has given us here. That doesn't mean that we think we're amazing and that we have everything right. No, it's just that God is blessing us and he's doing something incredible. And we want to be a church that resources and equips people far and wide. You know, Peter and I spent one day at the Hillsong Conference this year, and there was one session that absolutely blew us away. It was called Spheres, and seven ordinary people stood on the platform in the O2 Arena, and they spoke of their call to different areas in the marketplace, media, business, finance, all sorts of different places where they were making an impact. And in our hearts, we just had goosebumps, and Holy Spirit rose up and we said, yes, that is the kind of church we long to lead, where ordinary people are sent out into their everyday context, and before they know it, they are creating a culture for others to come and sit underneath. They're creating a space where others can flourish. They're operating in godly principles that just impact others. We believe it's a season for us to be even more intentional in our relationship with God and with one another. The world is watching us. The world is watching you. It's time for us to be all in for God. What will other people come and glean from your life? When you know who you are in Christ, when you know what you're called to in Christ, you will create a culture for other people to flourish and to grow. A key part of creating culture for us as a church is worship. Why do I say that? Well, honestly speaking, since we took on the church, Pete and I have held back from really nailing a marker in the ground when it comes to worship. And we've done that because we wanted to be fair. We love every aspect of the life of the church. But every time we go away to hear from God, he tells us that it's time to invest more into worship and that we need to be writing more songs. And I believe that's because there is a sound that is going to rise from this place, from this generation, and it's going to touch the ends of the earth. Isn't it interesting that our youth and our children are both stepping out into live worship when they meet together? Sai and Jess and the team lead worship on a Tuesday night when the youth come together. And from January, we are taking a step of faith to resource our children's church in live worship. That's because it's part of our DNA. It's a key and significant part of who we are. And so we believe that part of us creating a culture is this 24/7 culture of worship. You may not have a great singing voice and you may not feel like music is your thing, but there is a song a metaphorical song that is rising from this place, and it's saying it's time for the body of Christ to stand up, to know who and whose they are, and to begin to march out in the power of Christ and to see heaven and earth collide. And I believe there is an actual sound that will change nations. And so we're going to invest into that. We're going to put our money where our mouth is, quite literally, because we believe that that has to be released. Did you know that Chelmsford is the birthplace of radio? That's so strategic. There was a sound that emanated from this city that people heard in other nations, and no one ever really knows it came from here. It's one of those things that you'd only know if you drove past the brown sign, right? But that mandate is over our city, and we're going to unlock it. Our worship team are absolutely incredible. They're incredible. And they've spent years of faithful commitment, week in, week out, when it's been tough, when it's been easy. They've continued to invest their skills and their hearts into facilitating us in worship. And I want to tell you that every time we take our team or we send out other worship leaders to events and conferences, we could not be more proud of who they are and what they represent, because there is a unity amongst our worship team that you cannot manufacture. And you can hear the greatest musicians, but if it is not hallmarked by the love of Jesus, if there isn't that sense of unity, it's just a sound. It's just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. But this team, they're passionate about Jesus, and so we want to see them released as part of that. So, church, together we're asking you to join us in rebuilding ruins, in building bridges, and in creating a culture that will shape and disciple nations. If you are all in for this vision, then we're going to invite you shortly to sow into that financially. But that's not all we're going to do. We have a prophetic act that we want to lead us in, because actually, money is just one way for us to respond to the vision that we've heard. But we need more than your money. We need your heart. We need your time. We need your support. We need your prayer. And we need your service. So we're going to ask you to respond in another way. And that's going to be our way of saying we're not just hearing the vision. We're actually committed to sowing it out far and wide. And I'm going to let Yasmin say more about that. So could we welcome Yasmin to the platform?
Good morning, church. Okay, so there's a variety of ways to give this morning. Actually, Nikki, I'll just borrow that for a second. Over by the information desk, you will find our Vision Sunday information booklet, Heart for the House. There's lots on the desk over there. Further details of how you can give are in here. But on some of the tables that are dotted around across the auditorium, you will see these brown envelopes with the giving stickers on them. So if you've got a check, please make it payable to Skylark Church and just mark the envelope with vision offering. If you want to put cash in here, do the same, but just pop your name on the front if you're happy for it to be gift aided, if you just pop your name on the front of that. What you can also do this morning, if you haven't brought the physical cash or check with you, but you still are not sure about what the amount is that you're looking to pledge this morning, is our pledge cards. And they're across the tables as well. And if you need some more, then just give us a wave and we'll help you. And that is just a pledge this morning to say I or we as a family are going to sow this much into the vision offering over so many months, however you choose to do that. If you pop your name on these as well and put them into the envelopes with along with your pledge card and tick the vision offering on the front and just pop your names on those again, that would be great. You can also give via our church app. For those of you that have got the app, you can also give on my right. The computer is set up there, so there'll be a team that can help you do that. You can give online bank transfer for those of you that have got the bank details and do online giving. If you don't usually do that, the bank details are actually in here. And I think I've just about covered everything. One thing we do ask that's really important to us being a charity is that gift aid makes a big difference to what we claim back. So we get 25 pence in the pound, and that makes a big difference. When you're thinking about £100, that's a lot of extra money and goes towards, you know, making another lunch, for example, at Duke's Orchard. So if you haven't already registered for Gift Aid, you'll also find these forms on your table, and they'll actually be over there as well at our serving station. I think that's it. So we're going to take up our offering now, and we're going to pop some of the brown buckets around. And what we actually want you to do is, when you've either prayed, maybe with your partner or for you, by yourself or as a family, whatever, however you choose to do that, we want you to physically get up. The buckets won't be coming round. We want you to physically get up and actually come to one of the buckets and put that money in together. And then we are going to do a prophetic act. So God, we just pray this morning that as we declare vision over this church, Lord God, that Father, that you will align us with that vision this morning, God. That Father, that as we sow, that Lord, that you will just replenish, Lord, that you will double, triple, quadruple, do what only you can do with that money, Lord God. As we learn, as we sow into that vision, as we hear your heart this morning, God. Father, I pray that as families or as individuals, however we're choosing to do this, God, that we'll be on this journey together. And that, Lord, as we drop those envelopes in, we will delight in releasing that to you and to your kingdom this morning, Lord God. I pray that this morning we will be cheerful givers this morning, Lord God. So, Father, have your way amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.